Well, hello. Welcome to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I am Tom Cooper, and I'm excited to be able to be here with you. This week we are talking about time management. How is it that we can get the most of the time we've got? Now, Lead Yourself First is focused on you. It's your personal growth program. Andy Stanley said, in the areas that matter most, a burst of energy and activity cannot reverse the consequences that accompany a season of neglect. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you avoid a season of neglect. Your ongoing investment by being a part of this program is going to help you. It's going to pay off for you. That's why I'm glad you're here, and I encourage you to keep going. Now, every time I'm teaching a lesson, I take a moment at the beginning to talk about how is this lesson going to affect you? How are you going to get benefit from this lesson? How are you going to act after this lesson? What's something you can apply? What's something you will change? And what's something you can teach? We want to use the ideas that we get in this program because ultimately being entertained or being informed is not going to change your life. The things that are going to make a difference are the things that you do with the information you have. So what's something you can apply? What's something you've been doing one way and now you're going to change it to a different way? And then finally, T, and I don't mean teaching on a call like this. I mean, what's an idea you can share with other people? And it just can be a casual conversation with somebody. Hey, I was on this call and we were talking about this topic. Now, I say this for every lesson, but I mean it every week. I have been looking forward to this lesson. I look forward to it because I've got the same amount of time that everybody else has, not enough. And there are lots of things I aspire to do, and I often think I wish I could just do a couple more. Well, in today's lesson, I'm going to share some great ideas about time with you and give you some tools that you can put into practice right away. And if you do that, it's going to be a big win for you. These are tools that are tested and proven, and they're going to give you value if you'll use them. Now, maybe for you, you're going to want more. You're going to want some help actually putting this into practice. And if that's you, I'm commit to you at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share with you a way you can do that. So you ready? Let's get started talking about time management. We've never been more busy or more time-starved than we are right now. If somebody asks you how you're doing, have you ever answered, I'm busy? You know that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when your boss asks, got a minute? And you know you really don't. I feel this way a lot. I'm a task-oriented guy, and I get overwhelmed by busyness. And I think most of us feel overwhelmed by tasks and busyness. Even my 14-year-old says he feels that way. For many years, business leaders have been encouraging us, challenging us even, to do more with less, and our to-do lists get longer and longer and longer. So what can you do about it? Well, in this lesson, we're going to talk about a method to use to set some time aside, and we're going to talk about a way to help you focus on the most important things. Management thought leader Peter Drucker said, nothing else distinguishes effective executives as much as their tender, loving care of time. The fact is, none of us gets any extra time. We all end up with exactly the same amount. There's 24 hours each day, 7 days each week. That's 24 times 7. That's 168 hours, period. Carl Sandburg said, time is the most valuable coin in your life. You and you alone will determine how that coin will be spent. Be careful that you do not let other people spend it for you. The challenge we have is often we let others spend that coin. So how do we get the most? Well, I want to talk a little bit about how to set your priorities, and I want to talk about how to organize your time in a way that's going to help you get the most. Have you ever felt like your time is not your own? Or you're constantly overrun by people who didn't plan very far ahead and they expect you to drop what you're doing and join them in their emergency? Well, I want to talk for a minute about how to get on top of your time. We're talking about setting the priorities that match. And most of the time in my career, it's been my experience that companies do a terrible job when it comes to trying to prioritize projects. I was talking with a client the other day. He said they keep approving new projects without considering how much work the team's already doing. So what happens is there's too many projects happening at once, and they don't stop doing low-priority projects, and so everybody is super overloaded. And when there's a conflict between Project A and Project B, most leaders are going to say, well, you figure it out, because they assume that you're going to find some magical way to do both projects. But here's what we know. Despite your best efforts, you really can only do one thing at a time. Seriously, I don't have time in this lesson to go into the research on how terrible multitasking is for your overall performance, but just trust me when I tell you it is. And really, because we can only work on one thing at a time, essentially your boss is asking you to make the call about which project is most important. So when you're deciding which project is most important, what do you pick? Well, if we're going to keep this real, you pick the one you want to do the most. And maybe you want to do it most because it's the easiest, or maybe it's the most fun. Maybe it's the one where you're going to get the most, you know, pats on the back for doing a great job, or maybe the fewest people yelling at you at the end of the process. Regardless, you're making that call, and you're probably not thinking about the things that your boss or his boss would want you to think about. But is that the right thing to do? Is that the right way to go about it? I want to be direct here. What we choose to do with our time, our calendar, expresses what we believe is truly important. As you look back at your calendar, ask yourself, are you really investing the most time in the things that matter most? That's a tough question to answer. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, said we ought to think about what's really important rather than the fire that's right in front of us. And I was working with a company recently that really struggled with that. They fight big fires every day, and no, they're not actually a fire company. Their lack of planning led to crisis after crisis after crisis, and it got so bad that eventually I went online and I bought toy fire trucks, and I gave a toy fire truck to each leader in the organization. I actually have one of those fire trucks on my desk right now, and I gave it to them to remind them that they didn't have to be fighting fires every single day. I mean, it's not that there is never an urgent problem. The problem is when you wait until everything is urgent, you can't make progress. It's painful. Now, how do you decide what you're going to work on? How do you decide? And then how should you decide? Now, I've got an entire program on setting priorities and how to go about making sure you're doing the right thing. So I really can't do a complete deep dive here, but I think what we want to talk about is where should you put your time. I think that's something we really do want to talk about. And I think it's often easy to overlook some of those things. Now, I want to take you back, because this is not a new problem, this question about balancing competing priorities or being able to set the most important tasks. It's not new. And I want to tell you a story about the richest man, or one of the richest men in the world. His name was Charles Schwab. It was 1918, and he was the president of a company called the Bethlehem Steel Company. They were the largest shipbuilder and the second largest steel producer in America. One day, he wanted to improve the efficiency of his team, and so he arranged a meeting with a respected productivity consultant named Ivy Lee. Now, Lee was very successful in his own right, and Schwab went to him and said, I want to figure out how to get more things done. And Lee said, I want to spend 15 minutes with each of your leaders. And Schwab said, well, what are you going to charge me for that? Lee says, nothing. Nothing unless it works. And after 3 months, you send me a check for whatever you think it's worth to you. So during the 15 minutes he spent with each of the leaders, Lee explained his system to get the most out of his time. He said, at the end of each day, you want to write down the 6 most important things you need to accomplish tomorrow. Don't write down more than 6. 6 only. Prioritize those 6 items in order of their true importance. And when you get to work, do only the number 1 thing on the list. Even if that's the only thing you get done all day, you're going to invest your time solely on that one thing. At the end of the day, anything that's not finished, it goes on to the next day's list, and you repeat that process every day. Now, the strategy sounds like really basic, right? But Schwab gave it a shot. He and his leaders tried it. After 3 months, Schwab was so blown away by the results that he brought Lee back into his office and he gave him a check for $25,000. Now, in 1918, a check for $25,000 in today's money would be worth about $400,000. This method of establishing a set of priorities and using your single-minded focus to rivet your attention on that is so valuable that it was worth $400,000 for Lee to have spent a couple of hours with Schwab's team. That's a tool you can use too. And what you want to be focusing that on there is where you're going to put your time, and more importantly, where you won't put your time. Now, the challenge we run into is that saying no is hard. It's important, but it's hard. When you say no to the right things, you're able to say yes to the best things, and that is incredibly valuable. We decide what we should work on, and then by definition, we've already decided what we shouldn't work on. Now, once you've got your highest priorities established using that Ivy Lee method, I want to encourage you to think about time blocking. If your day was perfect, I mean absolutely perfect, how would it go? I mean, if your world was perfect, how would you organize your day? Think about the work you do today. What do you work on? If your days were perfect, what would that look like? And I'm not talking about the cold drinks on the beach under an umbrella kind of perfect. What I mean is, based on the current job you have, if your day was carved up into ideal chunks of time, what would it look like? You probably spend some of each day working in meetings, and some in planning, and some in communicating, and some in actually doing work, right? So if you could design your perfect day, what percentage of your day would be in meetings? Now, it can't be zero, because if you're going to do anything of importance, you can't do it alone. And the only way that you can enlist the help of others is by meeting with them. That's the only effective way you can do it. So what percentage of your day should be in meetings? What percent would be in doing the work? What percent would be communicating work status? If you look at your calendar now, how are you spending your time today versus how should you spend your time? And what can you do to take back your time, to reorder that most valuable coin to match your ideal day? What we're talking about is putting your priorities on your calendar, forcing the time to do the things that need to be done. Now, you might say, Tom, this is impossible. But let me ask you, what if it works? What if you could organize most of your schedule to fit in the things that really matter? Now, time doesn't permit me to go deeply into this topic, but I want to talk about this for just a moment. You need to think hard about this. What can you do to be intentional about taking back your time? And you might think, well, I'm constantly overrun. I've got stuff happening all the time. Tom, you don't understand. I'm just super busy, and I can't predict my day because things are going to get changed all the time. But look, unless you're a heart surgeon or the only tech on call for Google.com, you're going to be hard-pressed to convince me that you can't find 25 minutes at a time to focus without interruption. I get it. I don't know what it's like for you. Your situation's unique. And I hear that from folks who are on call or maybe in a customer-facing role. But even folks in that situation can usually carve out some time during the week to focus on getting work done. So as you look at your calendar, where are you spending the time? And where should you spend your time? I want you to think about a couple of things that may not be on your calendar today that you might want to add. First, focus time, and second, white space. Focus time is where you can close the door, close out the world, and focus. You step away from the ringing phone, the instant message, the barrage of email, really getting your mind focused on the important stuff. And the other area is white space. White space is when that thing that you plan to do for the day is overtaken by events. It's when somebody walks up to you and says, Houston, we have a problem. what we're talking about is putting time in your calendar to be clear about focusing, and also to be clear that I don't know exactly what's going to go wrong, but here's something I do know. Every week, a few hours a week, something goes unplanned. If I've already baked into my schedule some wiggle room, some space in my calendar, then I can actually, that white space gives me the room to tackle that problem without having it destroy my entire plan. Now, let's talk for a moment about responsiveness, because I think sometimes people fall into a trap when it comes to managing their time where they feel like they need to be responsive all the time. Well, it is possible most of the time to teach people you'll do a far better job of serving them in a time or a place where you can give them your complete attention rather than just a sliver of your attention in a multitasking situation. You can teach people that you can be 100% on for them during a time where you can focus exclusively on them. I've got a client who's in the mortgage lending business, and it's a very high attention, very high touch, short patience world. If you can't respond, you're going to lose deals. And he had this problem where he felt like he had to be accessible all the time and he had to be super responsive. But you know what he did? He set up a callback window. He set up a voicemail message that says, "Hey, this is Joe. To skip this message, hit 7. I'm looking forward to helping you. Today is today's date, and I'm working all day. I check messages and return calls at 11, 1, and 3. Please leave me a message, and I'll call you back during one of those windows. Now, if this is urgent, please hit 9 and ask for my assistant, Lewis." He also set up a similar email responder. "Thanks for your email. I am working today, and I'll be checking email and responding at 10, 12, and 4. Now, there's one other thing that he did that I think was really clever. He'd asked his clients exactly when they needed a response. You see, prior to doing that, he just had to respond as if everything was a crisis. But this allowed him to prioritize based on what was most important to the client, not based on what he preferred or even what he was guessing. So we talked about priorities. We talked about the Ivy Lee method. We've talked about this idea of blocking out time on your calendar for focus and for white space. As we're getting ready to close out today's lesson, I've got one valuable bonus for you. It's what I call your two-minute power tool. Your two-minute power tool called Reflect and Plan. If you can set aside as little as 2 minutes during your day to reflect and plan, your performance is going to improve. Now, how does this work? It's literally 120 seconds. For your first 60 seconds, I want you to take a minute to reflect on your day. What went well? What didn't go well? And is there something you ought to learn from that? What was missing? The thing that if you had it, the day would have been far better. What was that? And that's 1 minute of your time. And then take 1 minute to plan for tomorrow. What is your big play of the day for tomorrow? I'm looking at my calendar for tomorrow, and as I see my calendar, I've got really about 3 things that need to happen tomorrow in order for me to be on the top of my game. And I've got to be right there. And the rest of the day, it's not that I'll slack off or blow things off, but I just won't be able to be 100% during that time because I will have poured my energy into the other things. If you're thinking about tomorrow, who do you need to connect with? What important task needs to get done? Just making a moment to think about these things are going to change the way you think, and it's going to help you get more done every single day. Now, it's almost time for you to create your action plan, and I really want to encourage you to create an action plan. Even if you're in a role where you feel like you don't have much influence over your time, it's still a great idea for you to make a plan. And why is that? Because it helps you see things you wouldn't otherwise see, and it helps you make connections between work requests, and it does improve your efficiency. So where are you spending your time today, and where should you be spending your time? What's your plan to take back each hour to make it work for you? Take some time to reflect and plan. And what's that one idea from today's lesson you can apply, change, or teach? And maybe you're with your team as you're listening to this. This is a good time for you to talk about what can we do as a team to better manage our time. Now, I did mention earlier that you might be interested in learning more or spending some more time on this. I've got a time management coaching program that I'd be happy to do with you or your team. It's a 4-session program where you're going to put these ideas into practice, and I'm going to hold you accountable to follow through. That program is just $199 a person, and you'll see great results from the things you accomplish in just a few sessions. If you're interested, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Hey, thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I am looking forward to hearing from you next time.